Let us pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. Pray now for preaching power, for anointing. Allow your people to see you, the hope and light of the world. Let my words be your words, my thoughts be your thoughts, that your will be accomplished in this preaching time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the most valuable assets that a person can have, one of the things that people look for today in leaders and people who are in front of them is credibility. Some would call it believability. Do you present yourself in a way, are you a person that people can believe in? Surveys show that a person who is considered credible or believable has to have certain characteristics or certain traits. Write these down and see how you measure up on this checklist. Some say that it starts with honesty. That a person, if they are going to have credibility, they must be perceived to be, seen to be honest. People of integrity and character. The second trait is consistency. That they're not saying one thing, one place, and something else, someplace else, but they are consistent. The third thing is they are competent. There's a level of competency that they have so that when they say they're going to do something, they're able to do it because they're competent in that area. So when they speak to an area, they speak out of a level or place of competency. The fourth thing is that they are a clear communicator. There's no duplicity in what they are saying. There's no wishy-washiness. You don't have to try to figure it out. No, they are very clear in their communication. That helps to give them credibility. And the fifth thing is that they keep their word. That they do what they say they're going to do. Those five traits, now there are others, but those five traits are five things that come up universally when someone is asked, is a person credible or are they believable? Because at the end of the day, a person has to have a level of credibility if you're going to believe them. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. Who is the most credible person you know? Who is the most believable person you know? All of us know some folk that just lie for the sake of lying. You know, some folk lie and you say, man, why they lying? They ain't have to lie about that. There was no reason to lie. Some folk have lied so long, they've lied to themselves and they believe that the lie they tell to themselves is the truth. So who is the most credible person you know? Who is the most believable person that you know? Here's what I want to suggest to you today, my brothers and sisters, that when you look at those five character traits of a person who has credibility or believability, there is no one who has or exhibits those traits in a greater way than God. I think most of us would say without hesitation that we know nobody who has a greater credibility or greater believability than God. But here's the problem. Then why do you tend to believe other people more than you believe God? Why do you believe yourself more than you believe God? In our text today, we see a woman who was touched by God, chosen by God, who only was able to walk in the fulfillment of her potential in God because at the end of the day, she believed what God said. And so today, for a few moments, on your outline, it says the blessings when you believe God. The blessings when you believe God. But I want you to write this title underneath that title. And the title is How to Believe as You're Blessed by God. How to Believe as You Are Blessed by God. The purpose of this message is to show you that there are blessings associated with believing God. That in a very real sense, the blessings of God are fully unlocked when we learn how to believe God. And to the degree that we believe God, that will determine the degree to which we receive our blessings from God. Now, somebody may look and say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, you can be blessed by God and not believe God. Here's the thing. If you are blessed by the Lord and don't believe in the Lord or the blessings of God, you can acknowledge blessings, but you will never ascribe the credit that belongs to God to him. When you learn how to believe God, you can walk in blessings that God has provided. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching, wherever you are, you can go to our website, goodhope.org, and download an outline or download our church app, and you will find a fill-in-the-blank outline there for you to fill in on your smartphone or on your tablet. Three things I want you to see today around this Christmas thought of how to believe as you're blessed by God. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to do what's necessary to encourage your belief in God. If you are going to believe as you are blessed by God, you've got to learn how to do what's necessary to encourage your belief in God. Luke chapter 1, verse 39, the New Living Translation reads, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. Mary has already received news from the angel that she would conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit and give birth to a son. Now she is in a place where while she has affirmed her belief, God wants to provide for her encouragement to understand that her belief must be fed, must be nurtured to continue her on the path of doing what God has called her to do. Too many of us fail to realize how important it is to encourage your belief in God. So it's not that you don't start off believing in God, but because you fail to encourage your belief or nurture your belief begins to wane, and because your belief wanes, your blessings begin to wane. The text shows us that Mary, immediately following getting the news from the angel, starts moving to encourage her belief in what God has told her is going to happen. Watch what the text says. Text says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. Three things I want you to see real quick. A, you need to move with pace if you're going to encourage your belief in God. You need to move with pace. The text says she hurried. She moved with speed, with diligence, with earnestness, with a zeal. She was not haphazard. She wasn't taking a time. She wasn't slowful. The Bible says that she got moving in a hurry to encourage her belief in God. Someone under the sound of my voice, you've been procrastinating when you need to start moving in a hurry. Some of you, God has already designated what he wants you to do, but because you have not encouraged your own faith, because you have not fed your own faith, because you have not watered your faith, and you have not gotten in a hurry about it, procrastination has gotten in the way of you receiving the blessings that God wants you to receive, listen carefully, and the blessing that God has called you to be to others. You got to move with pace. But watch the second thing. B, you need to move with purpose. You need to move with purpose. The idea is that Mary went with purpose and earnestness. She was not on a casual visit to visit her family member, Elizabeth. She was not just in the neighborhood passing by. In order for Mary to go from Nazareth to Hebron, where Elizabeth lived, she had to travel 90 to 100 miles. Now, 90 to 100 miles is a good little distance when you can drive 60 miles an hour. But imagine if you could only make a few miles a day and you had to travel rough terrain to get there. It would take you days to get there, not minutes. And the Bible says that Mary made her way to see Elizabeth because she knew in order to listen, encourage her belief in God, she had to be intentional. Someone under the sound of my voice, you need to be more committed to move with a sense of purpose, to move with a sense of being intentional about encouraging your belief in God. Look at C. You need to embrace God's plan for your life. If you're going to encourage your belief in God, you've got to embrace God's plan for your life. Mary had already heard that Elizabeth was pregnant. She had already heard that this old woman who was past childbearing years was now expecting, and it was a miracle that only could happen because of the power of God. And here's what God needed Mary to understand. Just like he could resuscitate a womb that was alive, he could take her womb that had never been touched by a man and make it come alive. God needed her to know that the miracle working power of God that touched Elizabeth's body was the same power that could touch her body, and Elizabeth was 6 months ahead of Mary in the pregnancy journey. Someone under the sound of my voice, here's what God wants you to understand. You can be encouraged by knowing that if God did a miracle for somebody else, God can do a miracle for you. Matter of fact, let me put a quarter in the meter and park right there, because here's one of the mistakes that we make whenever we see God blessing somebody else. We become envious instead of encouraged. We are envious because we look at them and say, God, I can't believe you doing that for them. Instead of being encouraged and inspired, knowing that if God can do it for somebody else, God can do the same thing for me. Knowing that if God did it before, he can do it again. Same God right now, the same God back then. And we miss what God wants to do for us, because we're too busy envying what God is doing for somebody else. Listen, God wants you to know you've got to do what's necessary to encourage your belief in God. Don't put your belief in God in somebody else's hands. Do what you need to do. Can you imagine if Mary sat there and said, well, let me wait and see if Elizabeth's going to come and see me. She said, no. I'm going to move. I'm going to go. I'm going to do in order to encourage my belief in God. Here's the second thing right here in the text. Number two, you need to recognize when God affirms what he promises to do in your life. You've got to recognize when God affirms what he promises to do in your life. I want you to circle that word recognize, because here's what I need you to understand. There are times that God is affirming and you're missing the affirmation. You're looking for God to affirm in one way, and God is affirming in multiple ways, but you're missing recognizing how he's affirming. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 41. The NLT translation says, at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women. Everybody say all women. God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Mary enters Elizabeth's home and greets her. And at the moment Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, the Bible says God began to affirm what he was doing in Mary supernaturally. Let me put a quarter in the meter because some of y'all missing it. Here's the first thing that happened. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy. Now that baby would be John the Baptist, who would be the preacher who would preach in the wilderness preparing the way for the Messiah. Watch this. John is in the womb 6 months old. Mary has just been conceived by Jesus has just been conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. So Jesus, according to scientists, is not even at the age of viability. But John has prenatal perception and in the womb sees the Messiah in Mary's womb and begins to shout while he's in the womb. Mary witnessed the Holy Ghost move in Elizabeth. Watch this. The second thing the Bible says, Elizabeth was instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it means that you are under the control of the Holy Ghost. It is the affirming power and presence of God that comes upon you or manifests itself in you, saying God is in control and speaking to you at that moment. And the Bible says, as a result of that control of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth began to speak in a way that she had never spoken before. So watch what Mary sees. She witnesses the Holy Ghost moving inside of Elizabeth, and then she sees the Holy Ghost take control of Elizabeth. Here's the third thing. Elizabeth, the Bible says, spoke in a loud voice. She gave out a loud cry. So Mary witnesses the Holy Ghost moving inside of her, watches the Holy Ghost fill her, and then hears the Holy Ghost talk through her. And Elizabeth demonstrates a humility under the control of the Holy Spirit that reverses the relationship you would expect them to have. Somebody said, why is that the case? Because Elizabeth was a mature woman, past childbearing years, who was an established leader in that town and in that community. Her husband was a priest. So she had a certain station and status in life. Mary is a girl, scholars believe, somewhere between 14 and 16 years of age. So she's a young lady just beginning to live her life. Elizabeth has lived most of her life, but the Bible says when Elizabeth speaks to Mary, she honors what God is doing in her. And she says, you are blessed above all women. What have I done to deserve the mother of my Lord coming in my presence? Because she recognized the messiahship of Jesus, even though he had yet to take a breath on this earth. When has God affirmed what he's doing in your life? Who has God used to affirm what he's doing in your life? How has God spoken to you and affirmed what he's doing in your life? Watch this. Not that you go to other people for approval, but those who know the Lord become, in essence, the mouthpiece of God to affirm what God is already doing in your life. And can I tell you the mistake that some of us make? God will speak through somebody, and then you'll brush it off. You'll say something like, oh, I know you're just saying that. And it's God talking through them. It's the Holy Ghost trying to get a message to you of confirmation of what God has called you to do. But you keep brushing it off. You keep pushing it to the side. And God is trying to affirm, just like he was affirming for Mary, that I'm doing something special in your life. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let's read it together in verse 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Here's the third and final thing if you're going to believe as you're blessed by God. Number three, you need to realize believing God positions you to receive blessings from God. Believing God positions you to receive blessings from God. Verse 45, Luke chapter 1, the New Living Translation says, you are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. Elizabeth says to Mary, you are blessed. You are in line to be prosperous, to be happy, to have a great disposition, to have pleasure in your life. You are blessed. You are set up for success because you have believed. You have put your trust. You have put your faith. You have relied upon God. Everything was in place for God to do what he promised to do for Mary. The only thing Mary had to do at that point was act on that belief. Just believe. Just believe. All, that's all Mary had to do. Just believe. If she would just believe, she would see God do amazing things. Now, here's what I need you to understand about this. She does not have all of the details for the journey, but she just has to believe God. She could not see then the legions of angels that would protect her and her baby, but she just had to believe. She was unaware of what the future would hold, but she just had to believe. She just had to trust what God said. Can I tell you what some of our problem is? We can't be blessed in our believing because too many of you won't believe until you get a detailed itinerary from God about the journey that God wants to take you on. And because you are so nosy and you want every detail and you won't go unless you get every detail, God says, stay where you are. Because I can't take you where you won't trust me. Somebody tweet that for me. Yeah. God can't take you where you won't trust them. And you got to trust them before you get there, not after you see where you're going. Watch what happens. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 36. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. In her old age, people used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. So it's as if God says, let me co-sign on myself. See what I did for Elizabeth? And folks said it couldn't happen. But because the word of God will never fail, what I did for her in terms of showing her my miracle working power, I can do the same thing for you. And watch how she responds in verse 38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. See, here's what you got to understand and why it's so important to trust God. Listen to me carefully. When God speaks, he doesn't speak hypothetically. The reason God doesn't speak hypothetically is because he sees today, yesterday, and tomorrow all at the same time. He's not limited by time. That's why the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So when God makes a promise for your tomorrow, he's already standing at tomorrow seeing the promise fulfilled. He just needs you to have enough faith to trust him on the journey to get to the tomorrow in your life, even though your tomorrow is still his today. God says, you got to learn how to trust me because it's all ready to come to pass. You just got to believe. Mary believed. And the Bible says she was blessed because she believed. So let me ask you a question today. Will you believe? Will you believe God so you can be blessed by God? Will you trust what God says, even if you can't see what God is doing? Knowing that the promises of God may not make sense today, but they'll make sense later on down the road. So let me share my testimony, and then I'm going to take my seat. Now, what would be 31 years ago, 1993, I was praying around February. I was getting ready to graduate from Dallas Theological Seminary, and I was praying where the Lord would have me to go. I wanted to go back home to New York. God had already told me that that's not where he wanted me to go. I'm praying, asking God where he wants me to go. I'm putting my list together. I'm doing this privately. Nobody knows I'm doing this. And after I get through going through this process that the Lord led me to go through, Houston, Texas comes up. I don't know where in Houston, Texas I'm supposed to go. All I know is the Lord is saying Houston, Texas. I get a job offer from a school here in Houston. Wasn't paying enough. Holy Ghost didn't say go there. No, that ain't God. That ain't God. That ain't God. That ain't God. I'm praying. My pastor called me, Dr. E.K. Bailey. This is June now. And he says, Cofield, I got a church, man, I want to recommend you for. And I said, okay. Now, he had talked to me about going to a church before he wanted to recommend me to. It was in Alaska. So I didn't know where this church was. And he starts selling me. Man, it's a historic church. Used to be a really strong church. You know, it's a little down now from where it used to be. The pastor, former pastor, was one of the leaders in the national convention. And he's selling me, man. He's selling me. And he said, it's down now. He says, now, but you're preaching and teaching, man. In 10 years, I think you could take that church and you could build a church better than any place you can go in the country. And I said, okay. I said, where is it, Pastor? He said, now you're going to have to leave Dallas. He said, I know you're getting ready to start teaching and you're doing some other things in Dallas, but you're going to have to leave Dallas to take the church. I said, okay, where is it? And he said, Houston, Texas. I had not told anybody that the Lord said Houston. I sat down on my bed. I said, where? He said, Houston, Texas. He said, I'm going down there in revival for Ross Cullins. Ross was a big brother to me at Concord. And he said, I'm going to meet with the officers, meet with some of the deacons. He says, but I think it'll be a great situation for you. Pastor comes back. There are three churches vacant in Houston at the time. I'm not going to tell you the other two. There were three churches vacant that I was told about. One was Good Hope. A friend of mine who pastored in Dallas, South Oak Cliff, South Dallas, said, man, I'm putting in my resume at a church in Houston. I said, man, great. He told me the name of the church. And he said, man, you need to put your resume in over there. And I said, man, the Lord ain't let me to do that. I said, I'm going to put my resume in. I'm putting it in over at Good Hope. He said, Good Hope? That old raggedy church? He said, man, that church is so old, man. The buildings are raggedy, man. Come on, Cofield, man. You got too much to offer, man. You need to put it in over here at this church. I said, no. Lord told me Good Hope. That's why I'm putting my resume in. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. For over 30 years, I've been privileged to serve at this church. And I want you to notice, there's been ups and downs, there have been some challenges, but not one time have I ever left this campus and felt like this wasn't where God wanted me to be. I knew every day I left here that I am where God wants me to be. I believe with all my heart. Have other churches that have come after me, other churches that recruited me, other churches that said, listen, if you want the church, man, we're going to call a meeting immediately. The joint board's going to recommend you. I said, hey, man, I ain't even put in a resume. We know. We just want to know if you come. And it was never in the tip of my itty-bitty finger to leave Good Hope, because I knew this was where God wanted me. And in the last 5 to 7 years, I not only know where I'm supposed to be, I know more clearly why God has had me here. But it all started with me believing God. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, Pastor, how do you know this is where God wanted you to be? I said, because I had a peace about it that I had regardless of what was going on around me. Like when that guy said to me, he said, man, it's an old raggedy church. Man, the building is old and raggedy. I ain't see old and raggedy. I saw potential and opportunity. I didn't see an old congregation. I saw a congregation that was seasoned, ready to go to the next level. I saw what God wanted me to see. And I didn't, listen to me carefully, I didn't go to anybody else for affirmation. I didn't ask somebody else to give me a second opinion on what God had given me his first opinion on. But all along the way, I got encouraging signs that I knew this was where God wanted me to be. I need somebody to leave here today, leaving as sure as Mary was and as sure as Elizabeth was, that if you believe, God has blessings for you. Just like Mary gave birth to Jesus and Elizabeth gave birth to John, God has something he wants you to give birth to figuratively. And watch this. If you say, well, Pastor, I'm too young. You're not younger than Mary. And if you say, well, I'm old. You ain't older than Elizabeth. You might be the same age. Y'all might be both getting your Medicare card, but y'all both AARP members, but you ain't gonna beat Elizabeth. Because the power of God is just waiting for belief to turn it loose. And watch this. When God moves in those situations and circumstances, nobody can get the glory and nobody can get the credit but God. Come on, somebody say amen today. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, that as we would prepare to walk through this Advent season, that we would walk through seeing ourselves in the story, learning the lessons from Mary, Elizabeth, Joseph, and so many others. to know that what you've done for others, you can do for us. I pray now that your word has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people, that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.